Okay, good morning, everyone. And as always, welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. In particular, I'd like to welcome those who are in town attending the graduation tonight. A special welcome, Bruchim Habon. Last week, we began to discuss the topic of traveling in halacha. And we spent the better part of the shiur discussing the halachas as it pertains to tefillah, as it pertains to davening, the various manim of davening, the earliest time that a person could put on talis and tefillin, and so forth. Today, I would like to discuss other aspects, firstly pertaining to davening, and then branching off into other areas that may come up for a person who travels. First question, which someone actually asked me to address, is the question of davening with a minyan when you're traveling. And what is the chiv, to what extent does a person have to go to daven with a minyan? This comes up often. People go on vacation and they sometimes go in places where it's not going to be possible to get a minyan. In other situations, it could be a minyan, but it would involve traveling and maybe would be inconvenient given the nature of the situation. So what is the halacha as far as how far does a person have to go to daven with a minyan? So we have here on the sheet, if one looks in, it's actually the third source, the in Siman Sadi Sif Tes, the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that Yishtadel Adam L'Sfalel B'Beis HaKnesses Im HaTzibur, that a person should try to the best of his ability to go to shul to daven with a minyan. In other words, it says, this is talking in general, and not yet speaking specifically about a traveler, but in general, a person should try to go to shul to daven with a minyan. Now, what does it mean to go to Beis HaKnesses? So the Mishnah Berurah is not on the sheet, but the Mishnah Berurah points out that it's better to daven in a Beis HaKnesses than it is to daven in a person's house. In other words, there's a certain chashivus to daven a shul. The Gemara in Brachos tells us they derive from the pasuk Lishmo el harina vel hatfila, that in a place where is the makom that people get together to daven, that is where tefillas are most accepted. So therefore, it is preferable always to go, even if you have a minyan. If you have a minyan in your house, if you're able to, it's better to go to a shul. Sometimes people make convenience minyanim for various reasons. They daven a house, okay. It's not, obviously, one could be yotze davening and certainly davening with a minyan, but all things being equal, it is preferable to go to a shul, because a shul is the place that people gather. It's miyuchad l'tfila, and therefore that is always better. That's what the Shulchan Aruch means here, that he doesn't just say, yishtadel adam l'spalo matzibur. He says, yishtadel adam l'spalo v'beis ha-knesses matzibur. In other words, it should be not just with a minyan, but it should be also in a shul. Now, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, "V'himhu anus she'eno yachol lavo lebeis haKnesses." If a person is in anus, if a person due to circumstances out of control of that person cannot go to shul, so then he should at least try. So he's going to end up davening in his house. So a halacha that people are not aware of so commonly is that in such a situation, it's still better if you're going to daven in your house to daven at the same time that they're davening in the shul. In other words, one would think that, I'll daven in my house, I can daven whenever I feel like. But that may be true, but it's preferable to daven at the same time that they're davening in the shul, because in some way, that's also considered like connecting with the tzibur, even though it wouldn't be considered really tefillah b'tzibur, al pi halacha, but nevertheless, in some way, you have the schus of the tzibur by doing that also. Yes?
Can you use the word davening? Are you referring specifically to
Shmon Esrei? Shmon Esrei is the ikar of tefillah, yeah.
You have to figure out about that one.
Oh, all right, yeah, right, that's correct. That's a good point. In other words, it would come out that really you should calculate, if you can, it's not always easy to do this, but if you have an approximate idea when they're saying Shemona Esrei, but it sounds like, in other words, at least to try to be davening at the same time. With Mincha Ma'ariv, it's easier, obviously. Right? Because Mincha Ma'ariv, it also commonly happens that a person can't get to shul for whatever reason in the middle of the day. Mincha is not always easy in the wintertime especially, right? So you have to daven, a person's going to daven in his office, or a person's going to daven in their house, whatever it is. It's, if you can, and you know when the tzibur is davening, so then you should daven. Now of course, if you live in a place where they have minyanim all the time, so then you'll say, well, what difference does it make? But in other words, in the case here is speaking, you know, if you live in a place where you have your shul, this, you know, this is the shul that I daven in, so that's the time that would be preferable for a person to daven. Now, what does it mean that a person is an onus? So we're seeing over here that if a person is an onus, then he doesn't have to daven with a minyan. By the way, before I get to this, the end of the halacha is that if you go down to the final line of Sif Tes, he says, v'cheinim nenas lo hispal b'sha shehispal atzibur. If a person, what about the other situation? A person can't daven with a minyan because he's not available when they're davening. So he's going to end up davening by himself, but he has the opportunity to go to a shul to daven. But there's not going to be a minyan in the shul. It's better to daven in a shul without a minyan than to daven your house without a minyan. In other words, because a shul has a chashivus, because it's a makom tefillah. If it's a makom tefillah, so then this is a place where the prayers are accepted from this spot, and therefore that is considered al pi halacha a preferable place to daven. So therefore it comes out that if a person cannot daven with a minyan, so the one thing to keep in mind is to at least try to daven at the same time that the minyan is davening. And if you can't do that, but you could still make it to shul, if you can't get there when they're davening with the minyan, but you can make it to a shul, it's better. It's you know, sometimes a person, you're out of town, you drive to a shul and you get there and, they gave me the wrong time, I was given the wrong information, I missed the minyan. Okay, but all is not lost because you're at least in a shul. So if you're in a shul, that's already a maila, that's already an advantage to daven. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, what is, yes, go
ahead.
Yes, Haralicha too, that's right, that's correct. You get the schar for the travel, correct. Okay, so now we have, the Mishnah Brura says here, in Simon Chaf, in Sif Katan Chaf Tes, what is considered an onus that a person shouldn't have to daven with a minion? So he says the following, he says, first of all, Hainu Shatosh Kocho. One thing would be, common case, a person is weak. For whatever reason, a person not feeling up to it, he's tired, he's, you know, whatever it may be. So, apsha eino chola. He doesn't have to be legally in the category of a chola. And as we've discussed in the past, there's a category called a chola shein bo sakana, that a person halakhically has the status of a chola if the person is bedridden. Okay, but you don't have to be bedridden to be exempted from davening with a minyan, as long as the person is tosh kocho. Tosh kocho means that he's feeling, you would say, feeling schwach, he's feeling weak. He just doesn't feel up to it. So in a situation like that, a person, that's one case where you would not have to daven with a minyan. Then he says further, v'himu onus mamon. Now what would be if I went to shul, daven with a minyan, I would incur a loss of money. For whatever reason, I have an important opportunity right now, but I have to act right now if I strike this deal right now, if I wait 15 minutes till after Mincha, I may lose it. If I wait, you know, who knows what, before Shacharis, as we've discussed in the past, you really can't do business anyway. But in terms of Mincha or Ma'ariv, whatever it is, if I get there now, I have a chance. So the Mishnah Brura says as follows. The Mishnah Brura makes a distinction, which we find in other areas of Halacha, between a hefsid and a menias revach. There is a difference in halacha between a loss and the lack of a gain. What is the difference? The difference is a loss, a hefsid in halacha means losing something that you already have. Losing something that you already have. If you're going to lose money that you already have, if you don't act right now, that's called a hefsid. If a person is going to lose a client that they already have, I already have this person, or a patient, or whatever it may be, I already have this person, and if I go now to daven with a minyan, I'm going to lose them as a jeopardy, I'm in jeopardy of losing this person, that would be considered a hefsid. However, a menias revach is something else. Menias revach means the lack of a gain, meaning that I'm not losing anything, just that if I act now, I can make a lot of money. If I act now, I can make a lot of money. That's something else. That's called a menias revach. For that, a person cannot miss a minyan. For that, a person does not have a heter. This is this is what the Mishnah Berurah says here. And if you look further, he brings a remarkable story. Mishnah Berurah usually tells stories, but he has a good, great story here. About five lines down, he says that in one of the Shaul's and Shuvah Svarim, he brings down about a certain Rav, Zalman Mirlish, the Rav of Hamburg, that it says Shapamachas Holchu Beis Hakneses Mutus Betalos Tefillin Kedarko. That one time, this a Rav in Europe, probably in this 17th century, 18th century, that he was walking to shul for to daven with Talos and Tefillin on, and Upagabo Adam Echad Shoyelo Limkar Avonim Tovos. And he met a person who dealt in precious stones, a diamond dealer, whatever it was, who met him along the way. And he made this Rav an offer. He said, come to my house. I'm a diamond dealer. I'll give you a great deal if you come right now. So he said, so the Rav said to him, please, I have to go daven now. It's time to daven. So please wait. I'll come in whatever amount of time. Going to Shachris, I'll come in 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I'll be there. So sure enough, he shows up at the end of Shachris, and this great deal was lost. The stones were sold to somebody else. So he says, and the person who bought it made an enormous profit. It was an unbelievable deal. Unbelievable deal. So this Rav lost a tremendous amount of money. So he says, V'samach hagon simcha gedola, that this Rav had great simcha, shehishlich mineged mamun rav avor tefilas tzibur. He felt very good about it. He said he had great simcha. He said, ah, Baruch Hashem, I have such a schus that I, look, I could have had all that money, but I did the right thing. I did the right thing. I went to shul, and even though I could have had who knows what, but I did the right thing, and for this he had a simcha gedola. He had a simcha gedola. This is the story that's brought down. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, in general, there's a good lesson that we can extract from this, that, you know, sometimes you have to feel good about doing the right thing, even if in the immediate sense it involved something which might be a little painful even. You know, I lost money, but you did the right thing. He did the right thing. He says that this Rav had, the Mishneh Berurah brings down, again, the Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote the Mishneh Berurah, was not the storyteller. Okay, we have Magidim, we have many books today that tell stories. The Mishneh Berurah is not a book that tells stories. But he brings this story, because it brings an amazing point, that this, he's saying that not just that the person gave up the opportunity to make the profit, but he was happy about it. To Samach Simcha Gadol, he said, oh, what a schus I have. I have such a big schus that I did the right thing, and even though look how much money I could have made, but I did the right thing. I went to Davin, and with the bitach on the Amunah, that surely Hashem will make this up to me in some manner. This is a beautiful story that he brings down here. But anyway, but this illustrates the distinction between a minias revach and a hefsid. A hefsid means a loss. A loss in halacha means something that you had already. If you had it already, this distinction also comes up very much in the halachas of working on Chol HaMoed, which is a different discussion altogether. But it's brought down, it's well known halacha that, you know, if there's a financial loss, a person is allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, even though Chol HaMoed has the halachas of Yontif in a lot of ways. It's still Yontif. But nevertheless, a person is allowed to work to avoid a loss. So everyone says to themselves, well, obviously, if I don't go to work, I'm going to have a loss. A loss of a day's work is a loss of money. So the answer is that in halacha, that's not called a loss, necessarily. You have to know. You have to look into it, speak to a rav. But there's a difference in halacha between a hefsid, which means a loss of something that I already have, and a minias revach, which is a loss of an opportunity to make more money. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, so okay, there are a lot, many heterim, a person could be afraid they're going to lose their job. If I don't show up, I can't just not show up for a few days Chol HaMoed. If you're in such a situation, fine. But if a person says, boy, if I worked on this day, I can make a lot of money. That is called a minias revach. That's something else. That's not an halacha viewed as a loss. So that also would not be considered, that would not be considered a heter to miss the tefillah b'tzibur. Now, what does this have to do with going on vacation or traveling? So, a person traveling, these considerations have to go into it also. A person traveling for business, if there's a shul nearby, and, you know, so again, you have to cheshbon, if it's possible, if it's going to be a loss, you know, the person went on business, so very likely it could be a loss if I don't show up at the time that they want me to come, or whatever. Okay, so be it. So that would exempt the person from davening with a minyan. However, if it's just a question that if I had even more time here, I could make even more money, that is not a heter outright to miss davening. Now, when it comes to what the Shulchan Aruch said originally about a person who's tosh kocho, a person who's weak, so we mentioned we discussed this once, we had a shiur on the topic of tefillah b'tzibur, so there is a psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that's brought in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, that he said that sometimes a person needs a vacation. A person needs a vacation, it's a normal thing that a person sometimes just needs to get away. And sometimes the vacation involves going to a place where nobody knows you. You know, you'll meet someone, you'll start schmoozing with them, they'll remind you of all your tzaras, you know, so what kind of vacation is that? So a lot of times people look to go somewhere where I don't know anybody. So if there's a need to do such a thing, so that would also be considered tosh kocho. In other words, because of the fact that that's a tzarah kocho, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. And in my situation, if I go somewhere where I'm going to bump into other yidden, it's just not going to be nothing personal, nothing against anybody, but you know, whatever. It's just going to remind me of all the things I'm trying to get away from, right? You know, that somehow you just they always have that mazel that you meet the guy who reminds you, oh, what about this problem and that problem? How are you going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with that? So sometimes it's just better to go away. It's a place where nobody knows you. If that is needed, then that would also be a justification. That would be a justification. But in general, a person should try, talking now about leisure travel, if a person is possible to go to a place where they have minyanim, so then that's always the best thing. Now, how far do you have to go to daven with a minyan? Let's say you go, we have here in Miami, the great minyan that secular form of being Ola Regal is that every year, the week of the winter vacation, everyone packs up and goes to Orlando, right? This is a minig that's well-established. You feel like you weren't Yotze if you didn't go, even if you sometimes just go there to say you were there and then drive right back. But the fact of the matter is that you have to go to Orlando. Now, in a place like that, you're challenged with minyanim. What's that? Sure, correct. All right, to put in the plugs. For Rabbi David Yachman's shul, there are other shuls there too, I believe. But yes, that's true. But the fact of the matter is, so how far does a person have to go in such a situation to daven with a minyan? So just to summarize, because in the Shulchan Aruch it's a little bit lengthy. So we have here a sefer that's a contemporary sefer called the Isha Yisro, which has many of these halachas in very concise form. So the halacha is like this. A person traveling from home, if a person is at home, from where you're based, and you're not necessarily in the travel mode, you have to go up to 18 minutes of travel to go daven with a minyan. Meaning, if there's a minyan within 18 minutes of where you are, so you're mechuyev to go daven with that minyan. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that this shear of 18 minutes is the same shear whether you go by foot or you go through other form of travel. I don't know if he was referring to cars, but he was talking about going on an animal or so forth. But the halacha is extended to going in a car. If within an 18-minute car ride there is a minyan, a person should go to daven with that minyan. Okay, that is the brings it here. Kshonoseh b'mechonis, a person who drives in a car. Also, 18 minutes is the shear. Now, what happens if you are traveling? So if you're traveling, and let's say you're driving, let's say a person drives from here up north, a person going up to the New York area, so oftentimes people choose to drive, and in such a situation, you stay over the night, maybe you stay over in a motel or something like that, and now you want to get up and running. So the halakha here is a little different. The halakha is that if on your way, within 72 minutes of where you are. In other words, the shear of 18 minutes is because of mil. That's the halachic shear given for a mil in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. But when it comes to travel, if you're going anyway in that direction and there is within 72 minutes a minyan, then you're really supposed to make it to that minyan. Meaning if you're anyway going, so in other words, the person that's driving up north, okay, and they start from Florida and they get into, you know, they don't do so well the first day. They don't just barely make it out of the state of Florida. Go 6 hours. You say, all right, I'm going further in Savannah. They're a yidden. There are shuls there in Savannah, Georgia. A person going further up north and you're getting out of Virginia and, you know, heading towards the Washington D.C. area where there are minyanim, the Baltimore area where there are minyanim. So if you're anyway headed in that direction, and it's gone, and it's within 72 minutes, then you're supposed to try to make that minyan. Meaning that if you know what time they daven, and you're anyway going there, so you should schedule your departure time to make it to that minyan, if you can. That's not always possible, because a person often drives and drives late at night and checks into a motel and they're ready to drop off to sleep and they can't get up so early the next morning. But if anyway you're driving and you're anyway going in that direction, all things being equal, if it's within 4 mil, if it's within 72 minutes of the direction that you're going, not out of the way, we'll see in a minute is different. But if it's in the way that you're going, so then if it's set within 72 minutes, you're supposed to plan to try to make it to that minyan. Yeah. Okay, now what happens if it's out of your way? If it's out of your way, so then you only have to go, then the same shear that we said before of 18 minutes applies. Then the same shear applies. In other words, then you only have to go as if you were home. If you were home, you would only have to go 18 minutes to go to a shul. So too, if you're traveling and the shul is off the beaten path, it's not in the way you're going. It's not, you're driving north and this shul is west or east of where you're going, but it's not in that direction that you're driving. So then if it's within 18 minutes, you have to try to make it, and if not, not. Okay, that's the din. Yeah, yes, sir.
Is that 18 total out of your way? Or 8? In other words, 9, I think, and 9 or 18 and 18?
No, I think 18 and 18. I think it's 18 minutes.
Yeah. Take yourself up to 36 minutes.
I think so. I think the shear that's given is how far you have to go there. My impression is that way. But this only applies, in other words, what we're saying now is if anyway, in other words, the 72 minute, the scary number, right, the 72 minutes you have to try to make it, that's only if you're traveling. But if you're not traveling, then it's different. So if a person, for example, I believe, if a person was going to Orlando on vacation for a few days, so in as much as you're traveling because you're not home, but once you arrive at your destination, that's like your new house. I'm not traveling anymore. Now this is where I am. Now, if you're driving a drive up, let's say from here to New York or something like that, so then you're in the traveling mode the whole trip. If you're in the traveling mode the whole trip, so that's something else. But if I'm on vacation, so now I'm not in the traveling mode. So even though I'm officially a traveler, right, I'm walking around, the person goes to Europe, I'm walking around with my passport in my pocket the whole time, I'm officially a traveler, but now I'm based. Now you're based. If you're based, so then I believe the shear of 18 minutes would apply. In other words, the person in a place like Orlando, if the nearest shul is a half hour away, I don't think you're mechuyev to go, because what, I'm not traveling anymore. In other words, I was traveling yesterday, but now I arrived, and I'm going to be here for the week, so this is where I'm staying. I'm staying in a hotel, so this is like my house for the week. Whereas, I traveled to get here, but once I'm here, I'm here. Whereas, if a person is, the din that a person is baderech, that he has to go 72 minutes, I believe that's if he's still in his traveling mode. Just because you stayed over for a few hours to get some sleep in a motel doesn't mean you're not still traveling. You're still considered holchei drachim.
Yeah, I was going to say it's true. A few hours or your imam's plans, you get...
Right. The same thing would be if you built into the trip a vacation, which that's true. If a person built it and tried to combine the long drive with a vacation... you're making it, you're a person with a family or whatever, trying to, reduce the misery, kind of screaming kids in the car the whole time, the wonderful experience that we all know about, right, driving over that trip. So the in a situation like that, it could also be that's called that you're settled in this place. That is, I really have to, it's a judgment call to a certain extent. But this is how far a person has to go out of their way to get a minyan. Now, I just want to mention something which I said last week at the end, but it's, I think, a point that needs to be underscored, that davening on an airplane, which we'll get to in a minute, but, making a minyan on an airplane, the effort to daven b'tzibur is a great thing, but again, like we said last time, you're not allowed to do it at someone else's expense. You can't daven with a minyan at someone else's expense. So therefore, to make a minyan on a flight to Eretz Yisrael, where it's going to be done in such a way that it's going to wake up people who are sleeping, is usher to do. And it's wrong to do it. It's a chil Hashem very often, because people are very upset. Anyone who travels on a plane knows that it's very difficult, under the best of circumstances, very difficult to sleep on a plane. And a person's going on a very long trip who needs to sleep, so it doesn't take much to disturb a person's sleep, and very often once you've woken up, you can't pull back. So in a situation like that, where they have minyanim on flights to Eretz Yisrael, you really have to use good judgment. If they can make it in such a way that they go to the galley in the back or whatever, and it really will be an isolated minyan away from everybody, and no one's going to be disturbed by it, so then it's fine. But if not, it's probably better to just daven by a seat than to go participate in such a minyan, because the tziyotzah scharab hefseid, or whatever benefit you get from daven, you want to daven with a minyan, Hashem should listen to these tefillos. But how do you do that when you're doing such an avla of ruining someone else's sleep? So in a situation like, very often people by nature, you get very excited. Wow, we made a minyan on a plane. It's like such an exciting thing. Go take a picture of it. Take a flash picture. Wake up whoever else you didn't wake up yet. Right? So now it's even better. Right? So that type of thing, you really have to, a person is what's called the shikul hadas. A person has to use judgment sometimes. It's, you can't just go always. There's what's called the fifth shulchan aruch. Sometimes a person has to use seichel. So is this really, this is what Hashem wants, that this is the way I should daven? So you have to use judgment in a situation like that. So again, I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I've seen minyanim in such situations where they did it. They had a small group of people. Sometimes they may have had, a minyan factory going where they had a few minyanim one after the next, but they need each one of them, everybody fit in the back. And, the airline personnel cooperated, and that's okay. But if you're going to do it in such a manner that it spills over and you're bumping into people and the people getting sideswiped with talasim, you talk about rude awakenings, you get malchus, from the tefillin straps, the yotze, all the kaparas that are possible. So a situation like that, a person really has to use good judgment to know that what the right thing is. Okay, now, as far as davening, so speaking of davening on an airplane, so now the question comes up, davening sitting down. When is a person allowed to daven sitting down? So we have here, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's on the sheet here, in Siman Sadi Dalet, a very interesting halacha. This is the second source here on the sheet. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. It says that, Hayarochev al-Achamor, that if a person is traveling and he's riding on a donkey, Ain zarech leireid ula hispala. So the person does not have to get off the donkey to daven. Afilu amieshlo misha tofes chamoro, even if he has somebody who will hold his donkey for him. Meaning even not worried that the donkey's gonna run away. Okay? But he doesn't have to get off. Why is this? We'll see in a second. He says, El mispala derech hilucho. But he's allowed to daven while he's traveling. The same would be true if a person on a boat or on a wagon. If he could stand up and daven in such a place, then fine. Okay? And if not, he's allowed to sit in his place and daven. Okay? So if you skip down a line, he gives the reason why is this true. Why do we make such a heter that a person could daven sitting down? After all, tefillah is supposed to be said standing up. So he says, ki im yamo v'yispalel, because here the Chazal were concerned that if you tell the person that you have to stop the trip and daven, yiksha be'enav ichur darko, so it's going to be, he's going to feel bad, he's going to be upset that he's being delayed in his travels, v'lo yuchal l'chaven, v'yatrid v'lo yuchal l'chaven. And as a result of this, he's going to be disturbed. He's going to be so aggravated that he won't be able to have kavanah. In other words, the case, presumably speaking, where a person is, has a certain goal, he's traveling to a certain place, and there's some time involved that he has to get there by a certain time. And if he's going to, you tell the guy, oh, you got to stop the trip now. Stop, get out, and daven. Okay, stop the car. The Shulchan Aruch is not obviously dealing with wagons or animals, but it would be the same thing. Stop and get out and daven, so then the person will not have kavana, might not have kavana because he's aggravated. He keeps looking at his watch. Oh my gosh, it's going to take me a few minutes to say Shemoneh Esrei. I have no time. I got to get moving. So he's not going to end up davening with kavana. So for this situation, the Chachamim made a special dispensation that a person is allowed to daven while traveling. So he says, the Shulchan Aruch concludes by saying, ulefi yiraso v'yishuv daito. That this halacha depends on a few factors. It depends on the nature of the trip. It depends on the place where he is, and the degree of yishuv hadas, the degree of presence of mind that the person is going to have. Meaning that sometimes, an example might be if a person is traveling, let's say in a car, and it's time for mincha, I better get out and daven mincha, it's gonna be I'll miss this man. But you happen to be going through a bad neighborhood, or going through a dangerous area, you're on the highway. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna pull over to the shoulder of the highway and start saying Shemoneh Esrei? That's a sakonis nefashis, to do such a thing. Right? And therefore, in a case like that, it's better for the person to say Shemoneh Esrei while they're traveling. Because of the fact that, aside from the fact that it's a sakana, you can't put yourself in a sakana, but even let's say you'd be allowed to put yourself in a sakana, but what kind of kavana are you gonna have? Every car is whizzing by, you know, you're feeling the breeze from every car that goes by 80, 70 miles an hour. What kind of kavana are you gonna have? So in a situation like that, the chazal allowed a person to daven sitting down. Now, if you're the driver, it's a little different. Because you're a driver, what kind of kavana are you gonna have anyway? You know, you can start, close my eyes, daven kavana, you know, so that's not really practical. So the driver really, it would be better to rotate in a situation like that. That if you feel that you can't daven, you know, you can't stop. But maybe you could just pull over for a minute and switch drivers so that now this person can daven mincha. But in such a situation, you're allowed to daven mincha sitting down. You're allowed to daven mincha sitting down. And this applies as well in a car, on an airplane, we'll see in a minute, and on a bus. And if you think that this is a great chiddush in halacha, I will read you what is an astonishing chiddush in halacha that was said by Rav Chaim Kanievsky of B'nai Brak, that he said the following thing in this connection. They asked him, it's very common in Eretz Yisrael that people daven on buses. Buses is a very popular mode of travel in Eretz Yisrael. And a lot of times, people traveling different places, daven on the bus. They daven on the bus, okay. So in such a situation, you daven sitting down. And what happens if the bus arrives at your destination and you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? What happens? On a plane, that wouldn't really happen. But what happens if you're on a bus and now, you're right smack in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and they reach your stop. And if you don't get out now, you're going to be end up who knows where. So he brings here in this sefer, I met the author of the sefer in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago, a chashuv person, and he says, Kostav li Hagon Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, he brings the psak that he got, that if the person arrives at his stop, mutalo l'redes af shehu be'emtza tefila Shemoneh Esrei, that the person is allowed to get off at the stop, even the middle of Shemoneh Esrei could get off. Shouldn't talk, but he's allowed to get off at the stop. Why? Because his reasoning was, because what's the whole heter? The whole heter is the hetiru lo lisval gam v'alichoso. You'll say, wait a minute, you're not allowed to walk in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? We know it's considered a major hefsek. If a person walks in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, takes a stroll, you may have to repeat the tefillah in certain situations. That's a serious thing. A person's not supposed to move. He says, but here it's different, because here this is a special dispensation that was given to a person to daven while he's traveling. So they sort of bypass the rules. Because of the concern that the person should daven with kavana, they bypass the rules. So therefore, he said, so once that's true, so then the issur of walking would also be waived if needed. Because again, if he misses his stop, so again, what kind of kavana is he going to have now? So they're like, well, now I missed it. Right, going on the in Eretz Yisrael, you know, who knows where the next stop will take him, and then he has to get a bus back and this and that. So he passed an aloch l'maisa in a situation like that. A person could actually, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, get off the bus. He can get off the bus.
What's he supposed to do afterwards?
What he's supposed to do, so I guess he should go to the nearest place that he could daven and continue davening. Continue davening from where he left off. From where he shouldn't talk, and you don't get off the bus and say, okay, have a nice day. That would be the wrong thing to do. But he's allowed to get off the bus and go and daven. And continue. Go find a place where it's convenient and where it's, you know, appropriate for tefillah and continue the Shemoneh Esrei right from that point. Ordinarily, that would not be the din. We would never say such a thing. We would never say, first middle of Shemoneh Esrei in shul, and you're davening along Shemoneh Esrei, and the gabbai gets restless, so he starts shutting the lights, you know, dropping hints, you know, he starts shutting the lights, and you hear the jingling of the keys, you're gonna be locked in for the night. For that, we don't have a heter that you could just, we maybe should daven a little faster, but for that, you can't just get up and walk out. with that, because halicha b'emtza tefillah is considered a hefsek, right? To take a stroll in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But here, because of this special hefter that you can daven when you're on the move, so this is what he said, amazing chiddush, that a person could do it even on a bus, he could get off of the bus in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, go.
So when we daven in the shul, we daven with the mechitza.
Right.
Right. So you daven on a bus.
Oh, good point. So what about the fact there's no mechitza? Okay, what about the fact there's no mechitza? So the answer is that the halacha of mechitza is only applicable in a place where there's a tefillah kavua, in a place where a mechitza is only needed in a place which is established for tefillah. If it's not established for tefillah, a person, for example, even down in your house, you don't really need a mechitza in a situation like that. Now, is it advisable to daven with women sitting there? So probably not, because from a practical standpoint, it would disturb a person's kavana. But the halacha, the chiyuv of a mechitza, only applies in a makom tefillah. So therefore, in a shul, you must have a mechitza. This is what people don't realize. Sometimes in a shul, they take down, they have a portable mechitza, so they're having some event, they take down the mechitza, and then they want to make, they're having, let's say, a bar mitzvah, you know, and they somehow justify using the shul as a social hall also. So they take away the mechitza, and a situation like that, and they say, time for mincha. So then you have to put the mechitza back, because to daven a makom tefillah, you must have a mechitza, always. Assuming there are women there. Yeah, you have to have a mechitza. But if it's not a makom tefillah, then you don't need. So therefore, you could daven on an airplane without a mechitza, you could daven in a person's house without a mechitza, you could daven on a bus without a mechitza. Again, we'll see in a minute, you know, what do you do if someone who's not dressed properly sitting right near you? That's a question that we'll deal with in a minute. Yes?
Several times you're coming home from work in the traffic jam, you're stopped.
Yeah.
And it's time to daven.
If it's standstill traffic and you're on the highway, so you probably could say Shemoneh Esrei right there. But again, if it's stop and go and you have to keep driving, then I don't know if you could do that. Because when you're not allowed to be engaged in activity when you're davening. Right? So therefore you can't be steering a car while for sure when you're saying Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah. So if it's a total standstill, in other words, if you hear in the radio, you know, hear the traffic report, something happened and it's gonna be a total standstill for who knows how long, and you want to cop a quick Shemoneh Esrei, that you could do. To get out on the side of a road and on the side of a highway and daven is not considered a good idea. Because like I said before, it's a makom sakana to do that. It's not a chatchila person, and anyway, you can't have kavana in such a place. Yeah.
Wouldn't the svara of tirli apply in other cases other than halakha?
So it seems that they only, it should be svara, but apparently they only applied it in this case. That's what it seems from Shulchan Aruch. For a traveler, they made this heter. They made this heter. That's for a traveler. So therefore, traveling in a car on a road trip, okay, if it's going to, it's always better to stop and daven. And it's always better. I'm not trying, you know, saying a lot of kulas and heterim. You shouldn't think that therefore you could do, these are not tricks that you should try at home. You know what I'm saying? This is not the type of thing that you could just apply anytime you want. But the idea, you know, obviously it's preferable to go to shul and daven like a mensch. But we're dealing here in situations where the person is not in the optimal case. A person is traveling. I have to get there. We're in a car. We're driving, a long road trip, and it's, we can't stop. We're under pressure to get a certain time, and it's time for mincha. So if you're a passenger in the car, you can say the Shemoneh Esrei sitting down. You can say the Shemoneh Esrei sitting down. Yeah.
Oh, so you're traveling and you stop at like a rest stop somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it better than to daven in your car, or to get up out of the car?
It's better to daven standing up always, unless in the place where you're going to be is a lot of pritzos and different things, a lot of commotion. You won't be able to, you know, to stand Shemoneh Esrei in the middle of a sports stadium while there's a game going on. It's, you know, you say, well, I'm daven, I'm standing up, but what kind of kavan is that? What kind of tefillah is that? You know, so you have to use judgment a lot of times. Yeah.
So if you are driving by yourself and you are unable to pull over, there's no one that can switch. So to the extent that you can't daven mincha, can you do a tashlumin?
Yeah, you can do a tashlumin.
That's enough of an onus.
Yes. That would be an onus for a tefillah tashlumin, yeah. But to daven while you're driving is not really not an option. Okay, as I say, unless it's mamish a standstill, if you know that you're stuck in this place, then that's something else. Then you're not driving, you're just sitting behind the wheel. Yeah.
Concerning the issue of the pizza, you can only go out in the shul. Let's say you're in the home in the restaurant, you have a shell
broker. Yeah.
You don't need a mechitza.
No, you do not need a mechitza. No, the tefillah you do not need a mechitza.
Not tefillah, that's if you have.
No, there are other issues. You know, people will tell you need a mechitza in general because for tznius. But in terms of the halakha of tefillah, that tefillah must be with a mechitza separating the men and the women. That is only in a makom kavua with tefillah. If it's established in a tefillah, that a shul or such a place like that needs a mechitza always. But in a impromptu, you know, people down in amusement parks, all kinds of places that have no mechitza, women walking by, that's all right. Yeah.
Let's say you have no mechitza. Let's say there are ladies around. Would them still among you, or is the doctor?
I think that, I don't sound like a conservative rabbi here, but I think that it probably would be all right, even if it doesn't matter. There's no mechitza. Now, the thing is that if you're right next to a person who is not dressed properly, so that is a big question. That's a big question if you're allowed to daven, which is very common on an airplane, very, very common today, because the mode of dress is such that to be halachically tzanua is very rare. Even if not what by today's standards would be considered provocative dress, but nevertheless, it's still beyond the acceptable standards of halacha. So what do you do in such a situation? So this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin Hey Sif Vav. It's not on the sheet, I apologize. But basically, in a situation like that, you don't have too many choices. So preferably, a person should move away. If it's in the person's eyesight, a woman who's dressed improperly, so then you really should turn your head away, but you can't do that on an airplane. Very often. You can't do that. So what the only eitzah in such a situation would be for the person to close his, either two things you can do. Either close your eyes, if you're able to daven by heart, close your eyes. Or the other choice would be to move the sitter like this, in front of your eyes, so that you're not gonna be, you won't see it because the sitter is blocking your view. It's brought down in one of the svarim I saw, the Rav Avad Yosef writes in one of his Likutim, one of his svarim, that among the Sfardish Rabbanim, they would go to Chasna to be Masada Kedushin, and unfortunately it was an uncommon situation that under the chuppah the women were not dressed bitznius, and here the Rav has to say the brachas. They gave him to be Masada Kedushin, he has to say the brachas under the chuppah. So he said it was accepted amongst the Sfardic Rabbanim that what they would do is they would take the sitter that had the brachas and they would hold it like this, and that's how they would recite it. It wouldn't look too good for the photographer, you know, but the fact of the matter is that you have to do what you have to do. So in a situation like that, you don't have a choice, so that's what you have to do. If you're sitting on an airplane, it's very common, very, very common case. You're sitting on an airplane and you know, right next to you, right in front of you, or whatever, you know, walking by, you know, is a constant situation of women who are not dressed in tznius. So that's pretty much what a person has to do. You can't really turn away. In a different situation, it's really closing eyes is a big b'di'evet to do. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch here, I'm not going to go through it, but if you go, really the other choices are to a person should turn his body away or at least turn his head away, but you can't really do that. On an airplane, it's not going to help. Because where you'll turn this way, you'll see somebody else, and it's also not practical. You're sitting in the seat. Sometimes you know you can't maneuver like that. So in that type of case, that's what a person should do. Okay, moving right along. So this is a heter for a person to daven sitting down. Again, it's not a chachila to do this. If at all possible, if a person is driving and it's time to daven and you could get off at a rest stop or a gas station and say Shemon Esrei standing up, that's always better. But if you're pressed for time or it's going to interfere with the trip or maybe it may be dangerous to get off, and this is, you can't get off here, who knows where I am, you know, I'm in the middle of nowhere, or I know I'm in a bad area, or something like that. So then, if you're not the driver, you can say the Shemon Esrei sitting down, you can say Shemon Esrei sitting down on a plane. But the person who's driving really shouldn't do this. Okay, moving right along. Try to finish this in the next couple of minutes. Okay, Tefillas HaDerech we've spoken about in the past, but there's an interesting halacha in Tefillas HaDerech that I would like to point out that's not so well known. Okay, the Tefillas HaDerech nowadays, we discussed several years ago, the question of what the intention of the Chazal when they made the Tefillas HaDerech, what they were trying to avoid. So it's clear in the Gemara, one looks in the Gemara and Brachas, it's clear in the Rishonim that they were concerned about bandits, because in the old times they didn't have interstate roads, they weren't policed. you know, you went from one town to the next, you were going out into the open area, you were very vulnerable, and therefore they made the tefillas haderech for that. Now the question is, in the modern world, where you have policed roads, and you go interstate highways, there are interstate police all over the place, right? They're there, state troopers, as unfortunately we sometimes find out the hard way, right? That there are state troopers out there, and there, it's not a sakana. And even without the state troopers, there are other cars. So, okay, it's not that you do have today, you hear stories of time to time about the Rahman Salam, a person was carjacked, but generally speaking, that's very rare. So whether you have to say Tefillas HaDerech in the modern mode of travel is a big dispute. The dispute carried over to airplanes also. Before 9/11 was certainly a very big issue. I mentioned once this well-known story of Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, who used to travel from Boston to New York every week to deliver shiurim. So they asked him if he says Tefillas HaDerech on the plane, and he said, "I don't say Tefillas HaDerech because nobody's going to attack me on the plane." In other words, we would all say Tefillas HaDerech because we're worried Rechmanos something could happen on the plane itself, that it could be but he said that's not what they made the Tefillas HaDerech for. They didn't make Tefillas HaDerech for that. Right? The Tefillas HaDerech was the kavana of the Tefillas HaDerech was that a person should have siyata d'shmaya to be protected from attacks, from animals, from people. So he said, no one's attacking me. I'm very safe on this plane. Now it could be today that's different. But that was what he said. He said he never said the Tefillas HaDerech on an airplane for that reason. There are other people who said you don't say Tefillas HaDerech. The Rogachev Gaon originally way back, his psak was accepted for a while. He said that he had a raya from a Mishnah that traveling in the air is not considered a derech. He had a lamdash raya that's not considered a derech. But the mainstream today, the consensus opinion is that you say Tefillas HaDerech on an airplane. And you say Tefillas HaDerech in a car, but there are two schools of thought. In other words, there are those who say that the modern day dangers are considered also dangerous. In other words, even though that's not what the Chazal meant. The problem with that, is most people intuitively think that should be right, but if that's really the case, then you should say Tefillas HaDerech anywhere you drive. Then you should say Tefillas HaDerech if you drive from here to Miami Beach. Right? What does it have to do with going out of civilization, right? In other words, nobody says Tefillas HaDerech. You go here to Hollywood, you say Tefillas HaDerech. But you should if you worry about a car accident, so then why don't you say Tefillas HaDerech for that? So the answer is that we still cling to the old school type of view that we're worried about attacks on the road, and therefore it's only if you go in a desolate area. So, okay, there's a big discussions about that, but I think most people still follow that today, and they say the Tefillas HaDerech, I'd say Tefillas HaDerech when they're going in a place where they're out of civilization, even if there are other cars. Just for the record, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that you should not say Tefillas HaDerech today in a car because there are other cars on the road, unless you're driving in a totally deserted area. There's a story that's brought in Svarim that he once was traveling with Rav Shach, Rav Zatzal, that they were going from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim in a cab. And there's a halacha in Tefillas HaDerech, which is not for now, but there's a halacha that the person should try to say a bracha before Tefillas HaDerech, because the Tefillas HaDerech itself does not begin Baruch Atah Hashem. So some people are scrupulous to say a bracha in advance, so they go from one bracha right into the Tefillas HaDerech. Okay, so the story goes that Rav Shach, before they left Bnei Brak, so Rav Shach went in to use the bathroom, and when he got into the car, so he said the Asher Yotzer, he waited to say the Asher Yotzer in the car, and then he immediately said Tefillas HaDerech, and he turned to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who he was traveling with, and said, "So this is what I do, do you think it's a good idea?" So to which he responded, "It would be a good idea if you needed to say Tefillas HaDerech in the first place, but I don't think you need to say Tefillas HaDerech on this trip, because you're never going out of civilization, meaning you're going out of town. You're driving on a road where there are no towns. That's true, but there are so many cars. So what are you worried about? No one's going to attack you." So that's what he held. So, okay, there are various opinions. But the consensus opinion is that you say the Tefillas HaDerech, that most people still today say Tefillas HaDerech for a car trip, okay, and that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
You're saying that Kavanah, when you say it on the plane, should not be because you think not a safe,
right?
It should be because you might be attacked.
Yeah, well, that's his point was that that's what they made it for. So that was the takana of Chazal. So if that was the takana of Chazal, we can't make a new takana. That was the takana. That's what they claim. This is brought in, I believe, in the of Herschel Schechter Sefer Nefesh HaRav. I believe it has brought down there. Yeah, yeah.
How far a trip are we talking about?
Yeah, all right. So how far a trip is a person? So it's a discussion in its own right. A person has to go at least a parsa. That is the shear that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. How much that is a good question. But it has to be out of civilization. That's the main thing. In other words, it has to be not where there are towns on the side. Now, I just want to point out one important thing, which is on the sheet here, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, on the second side. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Omer Osah Achar Shehichsik B'Derech. A person should say the Tefillas HaDerech once he's already traveling. Once you're already traveling, you should say the Tefillas HaDerech. You don't say it in advance. This is an interesting thing. In other words, you would have thought that before I get in the car, so why don't you say Tefillas HaDerech right now? I'm about to travel. So the halacha is not that way. The halacha is that you're supposed to be hichzik b'derech. You're supposed to be hichzik b'derech. You're supposed to be already on the road. So he says, so that is the halacha of Tefillas HaDerech. But he says, just getting back to the question, you have to go the distance of a parsa. He says after that. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Chaf Tes, he says a very interesting halacha, which is not so well known. That this halacha, that you're supposed to be on the trip, applies only when you're beginning the trip. But what happens if you're en route? In other words, let's say, again, a person driving from here, let's say, to New York. Okay, so I'm going to stay over the night. So I drive the first day, I make it as far as I can go, I check into a motel, sleep over the night, and now I'm ready to go the next day. So I'm already, as we said before, I'm still considered a traveler, even though I stayed over the night in a motel, I'm still traveling. And my trip isn't over, I needed to do for the trip, but my trip is still continuing. So in such a situation, the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says here, that if you look at the last two lines in this Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Kol zeh b'tchilas yitzias mibeiso, aval kishuhulan b'derech yuchal omer tefillas haderech baboker kishemechin atzma lotzeis afilu hu adayin be'ir." The Mishnah Berurah says that if you stayed over the night, and now the next morning, let's say you're driving here, you stayed over in South Carolina. Next morning, you get up, okay, time to continue the trip. You could say the Tefillas HaDerech before you get into the car. Because the halacha of Tefillas HaDerech, that you have to have been hichzik baderech, is only when you started. But I'm already on the trip, so I'm already baderech. So if I'm already baderech, then I don't have to wait till I'm traveling again. Now, the truth of the matter is that it would probably be even preferable to do this, because there is another halacha which is not well known at all in Tefillas HaDerech, which is that Tefillas HaDerech is supposed to be said standing up. Tefillas HaDerech is a tefillah. It's supposed to be said standing up. Now, most people don't do this, and most people have never heard of this, but this is a mefurish halacha, that you're supposed to say it if you can. You're supposed to say Tefillas HaDerech standing up. Now, because of the halacha that we just said, that you have to be already on the trip, that makes it very difficult to say Tefillas HaDerech standing up, because how are you going to do that? The only way to do that would be to pull over the car and get out and say the Tefillas HaDerech. Okay, but a lot of people don't want to do that, so therefore it became very common that people say Tefillas HaDerech sitting down. But since it's preferable to say it's standing up, so then it's better if you're on the trip that before you get in the car, stand up and say it. Say it Kedas HaKadin. There's no reason to wait once you're traveling. You might as well just get up right now and say the Tefillas HaDerech. Yeah.
You take a 2-day trip to New York.
Yeah.
You say Tefillas HaDerech on your left.
Yeah. You have to keep saying it. So that's a good question. So this is a little complicated. So basically, if you're still, let's say, driving straight. If you're driving straight, let's say you didn't stop, and it's now the next day, do you have to say Tefillas HaDerech again? So just to cut to the chase, the Mishnah Berurah says later on, it's not on the sheet, that in a situation like that, you should say Tefillas HaDerech without the bracha at the end. You should just say it without the bracha, because of the fact that it's still the same trip. Now but that's only true if you either drove straight through the night or you just stopped off to catch a little sleep. But if, as was mentioned earlier, if you made it into a little vacation and you stayed over the night, you checked into the motel early and you maybe took a swim in the pool, whatever it is, you know, you tried to chaperine a little bit once you're anyway staying, so then the next day you should say the Tefillas HaDerech normally. But if you if the trip is going on, you should wait till you should say the next day without a bracha. I let me just finish that. I'm running very late. I'll take the questions right after. If I say, I apologize. I'll take the questions right after. Okay, just as far as very very quickly on an airport, when in an airplane should you say tefillas aderech? There's also a big dispute. Maybe you get 100 opinions who he asked, but the consensus opinion I believe is that the best time to say it is when the plane is taxiing to take off. When you know when that is, when you get the final push, when the plane is, you know, gathering speed to take off, that's really held by many posts, Rosh Hashanah, Zalman Arbach, Rav Scheinberg, all held that that's the best time to say it. If you didn't say it then, you can still say it. You know, Tefillas Aderech, if you missed the optimal time, you're supposed to say it right away if you can, but if you can't, so then you can continue saying it so long as you haven't arrived at your destination, you can continue to say it. If you're on an airplane to Eretz Yisrael, and after 6 hours you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't say Tefillas Aderech, so it's no problem, so you say it then. That's fine. You can't say it once you arrive at the destination, within a parcel of the destination, I believe. But pretty much the rest of the trip you can. Okay, just on a different area, just a person traveling, a man traveling, and he's away from home on Shabbos. Okay, he's in a hotel over Shabbos. Does he have to light candles for Shabbos? Totally different topic, okay? Do you have to light candles for Shabbos? The answer is that if you are in your own hotel room, you have to light your own candles, even if your wife is lighting in your house, you have to light your own candles and say a bracha, okay? That's if you're in a hotel. If you're staying in someone's house, you don't have to. Then, because there's two reasons to light Shabbos candles. One reason is because of the fact that there's what the Gemara loosely calls Shalom Bayis, that a person should not have an aggravating experience on Shabbos. If it's dark, you'll trip, you'll fall, you get angry, right? So in order to keep the peace, the Chazal said you should light candles that you should be able to see. But there's another reason also. The other reason is covet Shabbos. To give honor to Shabbos, we light candles in honor of Shabbos. So that part, the covet Shabbos part, your wife could do with you. But the other thing, which is that the what's called loosely Shalom Bayis, that they should be only Shabbos. You shouldn't be crashing and falling and banging your head into the walls. So what does it help that your wife lit candles where she is, but you're in a different place? So if you're staying in somebody's house, so then you can go on there, have luckless snares, there's no problem. But if in a situation like that, really the halacha is that if you can maybe chip in with them, give them a nickel or something to be included in their halachas neiros, but you don't have to light your own candles. But if you're in a hotel, it's your own place. This is your own place. You have to light candles yourself. It does not help that a person's wife is lying at home. It doesn't help for that. Okay, it's different than Hanukkah. It's different than Hanukkah. So therefore you have to have it, even by Hanukkah it could be you would have to light in the hotel. But certainly when it comes to Shabbos, you would have to light it in the hotel. Okay, two other points. The hotel's just really be for a different share, but I don't think we could extend this one more week. So as for the big question today, modern day hotels with the electric locks on the doors, a very big problem today. The hotel industry has become very unuser friendly to Shomer Shabbos people because the locks on the doors, the card locks are only the beginning of the problem. Now they have sensors in the rooms that could tell when the person's not there, the air conditioning goes down, and the cleaning help is notified that now you can come into the room, nobody's there, right? You think you have privacy, but they know when you're in your room and when you're not, all kinds of things like that, and there are detectors that are triggered when you open the door to go back into your hotel room. In certain hotels, the air conditioning goes back on. Right? In other words, because the person goes away for 7-8 hours in a day and has the air conditioning blowing, so it's costing the hotel a lot of money, it's not even there. So finally they wisened up to it, so they put in a sensor that could tell if someone's in the room or not, and when someone is not in the room, the air conditioning drops, or the heat, whatever it may be. So in situations like that, as a real shiloh, if you come back in, you're triggering this whole thing to go back on. Further, you have now situations where, not so much in private rooms, but in the public rooms where the toilets have sensors to flush and the sinks, all kinds of shilas come up. So there's a lot of, for that reason, it's not so, you really have to scout out a hotel before you go there for Shabbos to know what you're getting yourself into. But as far as the big problem, the classical problem with the keys, so to put in the electric card and open the lock is obviously you cannot do on Shabbos. The question is, can you get a guy to do it for you? So there's a problem with this, because even if, let's say, it would be mutter to get a guy to do it for you, but there's an isser on Shabbos to benefit from the malacha of a guy. So even if a guy did something for you, but you can't get benefit from it. So that's a bigger problem. People don't really, we spoke about this once. In other words, not just you can't tell him to do it. That you could avoid. You'll hint it to him, he'll do it on his own. But if he did it for you, you can't benefit. If a guy cooked something for you on Shabbos, you can't eat it. Right? If he did it for you, unless the person was a chola. So what do you do in a situation like that? So there is a interesting psak from Rav Yashiv, which could be helpful. And that is that it's brought down, if a person goes before Shabbos to the hotel manager and says to him, listen, I'm a Sabbath observant Jew, I would like to stay here, but I can only stay here if it's going to conform to the laws of Shabbos. So therefore, you know, I have an issue opening up putting the card in the lock to open the lock. So if the manager on his own says, oh, please, don't worry, we can work it out for you, we have plenty of staff here, they'll be happy to open the door for you, so then that's not, Rav Yashiv said, that's not called benefiting, because he's doing it for himself. He's doing it for himself because he wants the business. He doesn't want to lose the business. He wants you to stay in his hotel, so that's not called he did it for you, he did it for himself. He did it so that the Jews should stay in his hotel for Shabbos. So that would take care of that problem. Right. How do you justify getting a guy to do it in the first place? So that you could say, many people hold that the card lock readers are just an issur de rabbanan, and to tell a guy to do it is shvus to shvus, and to get into your hotel room is shvus to shvus from Malkam Onik Shabbos, which would be mutter. So if you could avoid it, it's better to avoid it. But if need be, you could get a guy to do it. But as far as benefiting, that's where the real challenge comes up. So this is what Rav Yashiv said to do. Another thing to do it, if you tip the guy in advance or offered him a gift and said, you know, if you help me out, I'll take care of you, right? So then it could be also he's doing it for himself. He's not doing it for you because he wants the whatever he's going to get. And last but not least, as far as carrying in a hotel is concerned, the halacha is generally the consensus opinion is that people rely on the lenient ruling of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is that if any place you're in a public area, in a hotel or an apartment building, where the landlord owns something in every room, where, in other words, it's his room. You rented it, but it's his room. He owns the furniture. You can't take the furniture home, much as people try. Right? But you can't take the furniture home with you, right? So in a situation like that, you don't need an Erev Chatzeres. He held that, this Ramesha held a very big cooler that he held, you don't need an Erev Chatzeres in such a place because it's really all the property of one person. So they held that in apartment buildings also. So therefore, in an enclosed hotel, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. You don't need an Erev. In other words, you don't, obviously don't need the Erev, what we call an Erev, but the bigger question is, do you need Erev Chatzeres? So in such a case, you don't need, the people are lenient, that you don't need an Erev Chatzeres. However, you're in a motel where it's outside, that's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different story. Because then you're carrying in a Carmelis, and then you might need a regular Erev. So that's very much different. But in an enclosed hotel, if a person is there for Shabbos, the accepted practice is that you're allowed to carry those.